It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Okay, are you ready for this?
Sure.
All right.
I mean, probably not, but...
So Saturday, the Saturday before the last Saturday, I flew to Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
It was quite nice. I mean, it's air travel, so it sucks, but it went fine. Had kind of a crazy lady sitting next to me on the way. But also, as per usual, I slept terrible the night before. So I slept a lot on the flights, too. And it was a nice sort of the legs of the trip were equally distant. So it was like I didn't have a long flight. I just had two like moderate ones. So that's fine. And I got there and some of the people were already there. My mother-in-law came pick me up. But then my brother-in-law, the one who I only see at this thing and I didn't see last year, Trisha's brother and her wife and their two young daughters, they showed up, which was great because I hadn't seen them for a while. And then eventually Trish and her sister showed up that night. Trish showed up very, very sick.
Oh, no.
She had picked up some kind of cold on the road, and for like the first couple of days, she basically just had to stay in the room. But whatever, it's fine. I mean, it's bad for Trish, but I was fine. And Sunday, I went out swimming in the ocean, which was nice. The water is very good right now. And I got the second worst sunburn I can ever remember getting.
Oh my gosh.
And I did nothing different than I always did. I was literally using the same kind of sunblock. I applied it the same way. I was out there about the same amount of time as usual. But it was really, really bad, such that now, what is it, like a week and a half later, I'm still peeling.
Wow.
It was painful for like 4 days.
Oh my gosh.
It's really bad. The only thing we can think of is I am on a lot of different like medications since the last time I was out there, and certain prescriptions can make you photosensitive.
Oh.
So that could be a thing. I don't know. I didn't go back to the beach after the first day because I was waiting for the sunburn to calm down and then other things. Sunday night was fun though. I did introduce everybody to Gang Beasts. I think I talked to you about Gang Beasts before.
Yeah, you did.
It is just a goofy little ragdoll battle royale. And we eventually figured out what the buttons do, and it did not help that much. And it was just nuts. We were just all screaming, having the people who were upstairs like didn't know what was going on downstairs. I eventually got tired of it and went upstairs, and I just hear what sounds like my sister-in-law just yelling, "Headbutt, headbutt, headbutt, headbutt." And it turned out it was actually her junior high age daughter, who sounded an awful lot like her when she was screaming headbutt. And it was just a really fun time. We had a great time with that. So that was really nice. Monday was also not bad. We kind of had a good time, and we had the pictures. We had our, you know, every 5 years or so professional photo shoot.
Like the one you have up in your
exactly house. The one we have up in the thing is technically a misprint because the baby's face is crying. The baby was supposed to be superimposed with a picture where the baby wasn't crying, and that's why we got it. We wouldn't normally get a big print like that, but it was a misprint, and so they're like, anybody want it? So we put it up in there. But that is funny because the baby, who is not happy in that picture, is the one who's junior high age now and was yelling headbutt, headbutt, headbutt downstairs. Her little sister, not even born yet. So anyway, so we did it. It was a 2-hour photo session. which normally is terrible, but the weather was with us. Like, there was a nice breeze, and it was just a good time. I am usually the crankiest about the photo shoots, because I don't give a shit. My family did candid photos. I don't get it, but whatever. But I was fine. It was great. We had a fun time. At this point, it was a problem because I had clearly caught whatever Trish had. I discovered this on Monday. But I wasn't doing too bad. It was just a cold, whatever. Then Tuesday and Wednesday came out. These were not good days. Because I was very sick. And Trish was very sick. And Trish's sister, who had traveled with her, was clearly very sick.
Oh, no.
By Tuesday night, the other family, like my father-in-law's sister and her whole line and their kids' kids, were renting a house nearby. And Tuesday was the night they came over and we all had a big family get-together, which was mostly me sitting on the couch telling everybody, this is the sick people's couch. You should avoid us. But it was fun. It was fun to watch Trish talking with her cousins, because they were all little kids and would do, because this has been going on for 30 some odd years. And so they were telling all sorts of stories about, remember when this happened and then Uncle Bobby freaked out? No. So that was fun. But I went to bed pretty early. Wednesday, I felt awful. Wednesday, I was just like, I wish I hadn't come. I really felt awful Wednesday. And by that point, my mother-in-law also clearly has got whatever it is.
Oh, no.
It's moving around. And at this point, Trish is worried enough. She comes to me at one point. She says, can you taste things? And I'm like, oh, shit. I didn't even think about COVID. But I can. I can taste things. Talks to me and she's like, well, I can do like primal flavors, but not like sweet. So Arnold's like, yeah, sweetie, we had this before COVID. It's called your head is stuffed up and you can't smell. And a lot of smell is associated with taste. Like the fact that you're still tasting something is fine. Whatever. It's a cold. I've had it many times. It's fine. Wednesday, I think we got somebody to get us Mucinex, but just like nothing happened. I'm feeling really bad, especially for the girls. I haven't seen them in 2 years. They were very excited to see me and we were going to do stuff and it's not happening. I feel really bad about that, but I also feel really awful. So Thursday, I kind of turned around. I still didn't feel great, but I felt okay. We had plans to go out. Was going to take my niece, introduce her to Thai food, because she's moving to a town that has a Thai restaurant. That's where she's going to go to college. But we were too sick for that. But so then I tell the younger girls, I'm like, okay, today we'll play the other video game I brought. And we will make the little Japanese kits that I brought. So I don't know if you've seen these before. They look cardboard boxes. They sell them in Japan and they're full of just like little plastic molds and powders. And you basically mix them together and you mold them. And it's like playing with Play-Doh, but it's all candy at the end. So you make little like I got two of them because they sell them at Hy-Vee. So I got one that was a bunch of like Japanese foods. It was like a bowl of ramen with noodles that you made in it and a little pudding thing and some gyoza and stuff like this. And then a separate one that was hamburgers and fries and a soda. And we made those and they are a blast to make. They're ridiculous. It was a really fun time. We all got together and did it. They taste awful.
Oh.
They're really gross. My nephew, who's like 16, was brave enough to take like the entire like double cheeseburger thing and took a bite out of it. He was so sorry he did that. They are not tasty. But anyway, that was really fun. So Thursday kind of saved it a little bit. Friday was the day I'm going to the hotel and I'm just done. So I'm like, let's just get me there, whatever. Everybody's getting real cranky at the end here because now my father-in-law has it. And it looks like both of my brothers-in-law have it.
Jeez.
I'm just like, oh my God. So got to the hotel. And this is the point at which it's like 100 degrees. It was hotter here than in Virginia, but it was also really hot there. So anyway, it was a crazy week. It was very, very mixed, except Friday night, I'm in the hotel. That was the whole thing. I got into a much more expensive hotel because they had a airport shuttle, and then it turned out the airport shuttle wasn't running, so I called the cab, whatever. Again, the night before, I'm traveling, so I don't sleep very well. So I'm there, and I'm trying to go to bed early because my plane leaves really early. I'm waking up at like 4. So I try to go to bed at like 9. But it's not really looking, and every once in a while I check over my phone, and I'm glad I did, because I got a message from the cab company at like 3 in the morning telling me they weren't going to make it when they thought they were, and could I adjust, which I could, but like if I had slept through it, I'd have no idea. And then I got a text from my wife and her sister, because they're on the road. They dropped me off and they start on the road, saying, tomorrow, when you're traveling, you're really going to want to wear that mask at all times, which I already was planning to do because I'm sick. Because my brother, my dad, and my aunt have now all tested positive for COVID.
Oh, man.
And I'm like, well, fuck. Mm. And it's like the middle of the night. And I'm just like, should I go get it? I'm like, nothing's going to change. The test results won't change anything. I have to be on my flight tomorrow. No matter what, I should cover up. It's just, and sure enough, like an hour later, I got another text from Trish, and it's a picture of a positive test. And she's like, I just gave everyone COVID.
Oh, no.
And I suddenly couldn't stop giggling. Like, all the ups and downs and stresses of the trip and all the things happening, and the whole time, we just all fucking had COVID. Like, so much of what happened doesn't matter now that you're like, we all had fucking COVID. We went out to eat one time. Like, we just wiped out whole swaths of Southeast. So, yeah, the Shyamalan twist here is we had COVID the entire time. And maybe still do. Because Trish and I have been fucking hosed this whole week. We're just, like, sleeping and making people bring us food and leave it on the porch. I just an hour ago had my first negative COVID test. Which I'm pleased in one way. I'm also not pleased because I also am still coughing up a ton of crap and I'm very stuffed up and feel like hell. And if I don't have COVID, I don't have an excuse.
Well, I mean, symptoms can persist, you know, it's your immune system that's doing all that. So
yeah, we've also been eating a lot of spicy things because if it's spicy enough, we can taste it. But the rest of my body did not sign on to this. So it's like just today, I actually had to go get the test and everything. So I actually put on the mask and I went through drive-thru and I got myself a jalapeno cheeseburger. And I discovered that the jalapeno slices are good. I can actually taste those. I can also feel them in my stomach afterward. And I'm not sure if later I'm going to be happy that I ate them or not. But I feel them right here. So. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world, I've thought about this carefully recently, the only podcast in the world that doesn't provide premium content. We don't provide subpar content. Our content is solidly par. This is perfectly good content, but everyone else is offering premium content, and that doesn't work. If it's all premium, then nothing is premium. So we are here to be a benchmark of a perfectly adequate podcast so that everyone else can brag in relation to us. You're welcome, everyone else. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 645.
Also, the circuit breaker went, so during at least one of those really hot days, there was no air conditioner on in this house. And the cats were not happy about that.
So do you don't respond well to spicy food usually, or?
I don't eat it in the quantities I am eating it now. And sort of to the extent that that's sort of all I'm eating. I like spicy food, but yeah, my digestive tract has mixed feelings depending. Especially sort of esophageal, I'll get a lot of like heartburn and stuff like that. And some things I can taste fine. A lot of things don't taste right, which is disappointing. I'm like, oh yeah, I can taste this. It doesn't taste like I remember it to be. I actually had a thing shortly after I got back. I thought I smelled like burning plastic, and I was worried that like the AC unit was overheating or whatever. And I looked around, and everything was fine. And I finally figured out I had lit a stick of incense, and it smelled like that to me. It's the same kind of incense I'd used lots of times, but it just smelled wrong. And once I smelled it, I couldn't unsmell it for like a day or so because the house was sealed up. So, so that's been a lot of fun.
Well, I've heard that we've been experiencing COVID for a while, that a lot of people that comes back, your smell and taste does come back. I've heard.
Yes. Trish looked it up. It can be up to 60 days.
And it can be a long time. Yeah.
So we're really looking forward to that, but I did get a lot of spicy Indian food last night. So, for those of you just joining us, we have a hat, not a cat. We also have that. This is a hat. It's magic in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. People write into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with whatever the crap they want. And the hat has us read it, and then we talk about it. And that's pretty much it.
Pretty much it.
How's your 2 weeks been?
Nothing. I mean, it's actually been fairly eventful, but there's nothing I want to particularly talk about.
As cool as getting COVID for a week.
No, I can't think of really anything about it I want to talk about.
You didn't see no MCU movies? Guardians 3 dropped on Disney.
It did.
Huh. I saw an ad yesterday and I went and confirmed it. We haven't watched it yet, but it's there.
There was a question that I came up during my classes. One of my classmates said something that made me curious to ask you a question. I don't know if it's one you can answer, but it's about Oregon. The person made a comment about Oregon. And the comment was along the lines of in maybe the 70s or 80s, that Oregon was pretty racist. Is that true?
I mean, that's such a broad thing to say.
I mean, that's kind of what I thought, but the person said it in a way where it was like, this is some historically known or significant event in Oregon history where there was a lot of racism. Well, I mean,
here's what I can tell you. Oregon was / is very white.
Like Iowa is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oregon's primary non-white demographic was and is Latinx. That originally manifested largely as itinerant farm workers that would sort of come up from California. And I know there definitely was a time period of backlash against that. Foreigners taking our jobs, but I don't know that it was codified any way that I think a lot of what I'm saying is could apply to almost any state in the
U.S. Sure, yeah, that's right.
I can also say Portland in particular was known to at one point in the 80s, I think, have really bad gang activity. that was like they took a bunch of like the worst city in the nation for certain aspects or whatever. Portland got that title on several things that have been like New York's and stuff like that for a while.
Wow.
And a lot of those gangs went on racial lines. And so I think there could be some conflating then. Mostly I just know from the 90s, they were incredibly homophobic. Mm. And that one is a record, and I can give you a lot of detail on that. I was very sheltered in that I didn't get to see if it was particularly racist. I knew a grand total of probably 5 black people by the time I went to college. And I hadn't known them all at once, but like throughout my time in school. And then I knew some Hispanic people. But yeah, I mean, nothing. Oregon was and is racist in the same way that every other state was and is racist. So,
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. The way it was expressed, it seemed like uniquely racist, or that there were like, I don't know, maybe it's just me too, because sometimes when people talk about a place being racist, based on my history and talking to people about race, there's a certain way of talking about it, or a tone, or a way of putting things that makes me think of like the Jim Crow South or something, which surely 70s and 80s Oregon wasn't quite like that, whatever it was. And I'm sure it was something. It wasn't like that. But
there was also a very big cult that came out of that time period in Oregon that was a big thing that, again, had its basis in people from the Indian subcontinent originally, and they worshipped a particular guy from there or something. It was like a Maharishi kind of thing. And that resulted in a lot of deaths and things like that. And so, again, you could argue that. I would find that a weird way to start that by saying Oregon was really racist. But it wouldn't shock me to find out.
Maybe they just meant of
no such thing.
Things like, because during that period in most places in the United States, I mean, not just Oregon, but most places in the United States, you can find some pretty clear evidence of, I mean, even in places where, if you were to look at the legal code, say, you wouldn't see anything that's like expressly racist in the legal code. But where you're going to see the systemic racism coming out at that time in most places was like, you know, redlining and things like that.
And I'm sure all of that was definitely and
probably
is still there.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. So that
I would ask them for some details. I'm curious.
It was a video. I mean, we had to submit videos for our discussions. So I couldn't really ask while it was going on. I don't know how
comfortable. I talk to videos all the time. I don't know what you're
talking. I've just met this person really, so I don't know how much to bring up about it, but I mean, it could just be that she didn't mean anything particularly by it. I just thought, gosh, that's weird. That's an odd thing to say that way.
A little glib, if nothing else.
I guess maybe that's what it was. Maybe it was like, is there something specific you mean? Or because sometimes when we talk about things in the program, we have a hypothetical client. And let's say the hypothetical client is a black person in their 60s. It might be mentioned that, this person remembers certain events, or that, you know, this person has had certain experiences that, make it meaningful to talk about race in the counseling context or whatever. So it does come up. We do talk about multicultural things. We do talk about experiences that relate to race that might be relevant to the client we're talking about, whether the client's white, black, or whatever. But it doesn't often, you don't often just say, well, this person grew up in this state and it was really racist, so there's that issue. It's like, what? That seems really kind of a blanket, you know?
Yeah, like I'm totally willing to believe it was really racist wherever they were, but yeah, to me that's not a given archetype.
Well, it's not what
this
you would
place more racist than 1970s Oregon.
Well, exactly. Well, I mean, it's maybe it's also since, you know, it just didn't sound like something a clinician would say. Didn't seem very precise, you know, to say something like it. Because what's interesting about the multicultural angle in the program, as I've experienced so far, over now more than 2 years, is it's a very, you know, when they talk about multicultural considerations, they consistently, and I'm very glad for this, the textbooks we use consistently say this, and the professors consistently say this, is don't assume stuff about your client. Don't assume if they're a Black person that they've had specific experiences about race, or that they have anything to deal with or say about race. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. Be aware that a person who's has a different cultural background than you, that cultural background might come into it. Be aware of that. Be prepared for that. Be, you know, try not to be judgmental about that and check your own biases, but don't just assume. That would be racist to assume, oh, this person's a Black person, so checkbox, 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 you know, or an Asian person and checking a whole bunch of boxes. So, you know, you need to be careful about things like that. Now, it's fine if you have a hypothetical client, and sometimes when you have a hypothetical client in class, you're also required, the hypothetical information you're given from the exercise is just a little bit, and it's on you to fill in. So you have to make up some stuff about your client, basically. And it would be fine if you wanted to include some details about their past that are multiculturally significant or whatever. In fact, often people do that so that they can show off to their professors that they have some multicultural knowledge and sensitivity and all that other stuff. But it's not really showing multicultural competence, I don't think, to just sort of wave your hand and say, oh, this was in a predominantly white state in the 70s, so this person suffered a lot of systemic racism. Well, maybe, probably, but you need to, you know, from a clinical perspective, you need to be more specific than that. At least I think so. But it made me curious to know, well, maybe there's some historical context that I don't know, because that's what the person said. They said, oh, historically in the 70s and 80s, this Oregon was like this. And I thought, whoa, were there race riots in Oregon in the 70s and 80s that I didn't know about, or police, you know, high profile police brutality or something that I didn't know about?
Again, if there was, I have missed it, which is definitely possible.
Oh, well, sure. Yeah. Hmm.
In general, when people are trying to teach me things, I'm just like,
Well, I didn't mean to take up so much time with that. It just really struck me. I thought, I think I'm going to ask Tony about that, because I would not like to think that there was some dramatic thing that I mean, I know I didn't grow up in Oregon or anything, but, you know, our educational system is not very good at telling us things that about American history, no matter what state it's in, that are important, you know, for us to know. And that would, I don't know, I think that would be an important thing to know if there was some dramatic thing that happened in that time period while I was growing up.
Yeah,
that I didn't even know about.
I just know about the one when they were voting to make it a state and they had a line in the dirt, and one famous guy was pissed off that enough people weren't on the side to make it a state, so he crossed the line and beat people up and threw them across.
What?
Yep.
I never heard that. Yep. Really?
They had a line, and some famous guy. I mean, yeah, really. Like, you know, whatever. But yeah, no, like, on actual like field trips to Jamboing National State Park, like, this was the thing.
No, I never heard that.
The place where they had the vote, and supposedly they drew a line, and too many people, they were on the don't want to be a state side, and this one guy wasn't having it, so he went across and beat him up and threw him across the other side.
I mean, maybe you told me that once and I just don't remember.
Nice and legal.
Wow.
But I don't know if they were racist.
Well, I mean, at that point, it hardly mattered.
Uh-oh, you froze up. What did you do? I keep getting bits, but your face is just going. Well, that's no good. You got, okay, now your face moved. Oh, my internet connection is apparently unstable.
Yeah, you stopped for a little bit. Long time there. The fan stopped and everything.
Oh, my goodness. It's the COVID.
Your laptop has COVID. It gets everything.
It does.
It's like sand. It gets everywhere.
It's funny. I called the pharmacy and said, I have COVID. I'm going to come through the drive-thru thing and get some tests or whatever. She's like, fine, just let us know when you show up so that we know to like wipe everything down afterward. And so I go to the thing, and it's like a bank window, though. Like, it's totally sealed, and there's just a drawer that comes out that you can change. They redid it. But so it happened to be the woman I talked to on the phone. I was like, it's me, the guy with COVID. She's like, oh, okay. She's like, how many tests you want? And we just go sudden. So she leaves. And when she comes back, she's wearing a mask. And she wasn't wearing a mask before. And I was like, also, I have some prescriptions to pick up, because that was the main reason. I was going. She's like, oh, yeah, I'll go get those. And then when she took my card, I put it in the thing. And then when she comes back, she is holding, she still has a mask on, and she is holding very gingerly a plastic bag that has been tied shut like a balloon, in which is a paper bag in which are all the tests and all the prescriptions, and deep in there my debit card. And so she very carefully like put it in the thing and set it out. So I was like, dang, she is nervous.
It would have been funny if each time she showed up she was wearing a different,
there we like go,
more protection.
Yeah,
and instead of carrying the bag, she had like tongs, and she like
there you go.
That'd been funny.
All right, you didn't ask me how my week was.
Oh, I thought you told me already.
I did, but also I got to see what I wrote on the thing.
Yep, we need to know all about that,
because I genuinely don't remember any of it. All right. I talked about gang beasts. I talked about those weird little Japanese things. I had a poke bowl for the first time ever. You ever have a poke bowl?
I don't know what that is.
Then probably not. It's I think it's a Japanese dish. And I'll tell you, the one I did, it was like a customized thing. So it's sushi rice is a base for it. And then I had them put in some shrimp and some scallops. And then we added in all sorts of weird, like some crab salad and seaweed salad and some edamame and all sorts of stuff and little sauces. It's just a bowl of rice and fish, I think, normally. But they put a lot of other crap in it. Mango, pineapple. It's pretty nice. We haven't had one before. All right, I'm going to talk real quick about Michael Bublé.
Okay.
All right. Also about bad lip reading.
Okay.
We talked a lot about bad lip reading.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm kind of over bad lip reading, except for the songs, because the lip reading isn't that funny to me. It's been done. And also, they tend to skew very toilety humor and little kid humor that I don't particularly enjoy, but the music slaps. Like, a lot of the music is really good in a very sort of generic way that I would have loved in the 90s, and I don't even care how the lyrics are gibberish or whatever. The music is just really good, and that's why of the Star Wars ones I watched the Seagull one the least often, because it is arguably the funniest, but it's, first of all, it's a bad earworm, but also I consider it the least impressive as a song.
Mm.
I like Bushes of Love more, and I like Not the Future the most. That song is awesome. Anyway, so I'm hunting through and I'm finding more of these, and I'm like, this, some of these are weird because it's for music that I've never heard, so I don't know, like, is the music that the Bad Lip Reading guy is going to be a parody of that song, or is it just its own thing? I don't know. And then I find Russian Unicorn, which is the title of a Bad Lip Reading song by Michael Bublé. And I watched the video. And I had never seen the video. But I suspected, because here's the thing. If you're not a Michael Bublé fan, you know exactly one Michael Bublé song.
Oh, really?
Yes.
You mean it's not like a Christmas song?
Yeah. Original song.
Okay. I don't know any Michael Bublé original songs.
It's called I Just Haven't Met You Yet. And it's like the only song that made it into charts that anybody knew. And it's a very cute song. The more I thought about it, it's essentially a gender swap of Someday My Prince Will Come. It's the song about how there's this wonderful person out there for him, and they're going to work to make the relationship work, and it'll be really cool, but he hasn't actually met whoever it is yet.
Hmm.
And it's a good song, and it's a very popular song. It's the song, again, it's his, you know how Josh Groban has You Raise Me Up? This is his You Raise Me Up.
No.
Like, everything else you've heard is either a Christmas standard or a Sinatra cover. Every other Bublé song, because he just, that's the kind of stuff he does. I don't give a shit, but it's a good song. And it's a really cool video, which I had never seen before, in which he's shopping and he sees this woman and he starts this whole daydream, and the people in the store start getting involved. So, like, the people waiting in line start, like, swaying to the music, and the checkout person starts, like, dancing and stuff like that. This is a real fun video. It's a Michael Bublé song, so it's a very Sinatra-y crooner sort of song. Swingy, you know, whatever. Russian Unicorn is not. Russian Unicorn is a very modern electro-pop pop song with a fair bit of rap involved.
Mm.
And it's just bizarre to watch it and then watch the other video, and it works. I don't get how, but what's really fun is, so when I'm sick, I was watching a bunch of this because this is what I do when I get sick. I fixate on something, and I happen to see this thing in my YouTube things on the bottom there, suggestion, and it's a minute and a half video of someone interviewing Michael Bublé and saying, like, what's your favorite song that's, like, not yours? And he's like, well, my current obsession is this song called Russian Unicorn. And it's real. And he's like, and I had nothing to do with it, but it's just amazing. I was listening to it just the other day, just the audio. Like, the video is a good video, obviously. But he was like, the lyrics don't mean much to me personally, but it's just a really good song, and it's not wrong. It's a really good song, so I'd recommend checking it out. But especially watch I Just Haven't Met You Yet, and then watch this and see how insanely different it is. It's pretty hilarious. All right, give us a thing.
Give us a thing.
You know. It doesn't have to be premium, but it still has to be content.
Azure Talon.
Uh-huh.
I'm confused because there seem to be two things here. He replied to one, but I think he accidentally sent one too early, because it just has, like, the first line, you know, it says,
oh,
hosts with the sums, don't know what that means, but then there's nothing in that email except that. So I presume he just sent that accidentally. And then the body of what he wanted to say is next.
All right. What does the body say?
We are doing the Tuning Japanese summer viewing program where we pick stuff to make the others watch. These are the three picks. Have you seen these? I would love to get your opinions on them, or at least your opinions on these trailers. Well, okay. We're not going to watch the trailers during the podcast, but anyhow.
It's weird. He arguably has listened longer than anyone and yet still doesn't get the format.
Dave Made a Maze.
Seen it?
You have?
Yes.
Okay. Poultrygeist, Night of the Chicken Dead.
I have not seen it. I'm familiar with it.
And then there's The Great Gatsby, but I don't know which version. I presume the...
Let's assume it's the DiCaprio one.
That's what I'm going to assume. I have seen none of them. I hadn't even heard of the first two. But I mean, Great Gatsby, you know, I read The Great Gatsby, and I think I might have seen one film version of it, but not the DiCaprio version.
I haven't seen or read Gatsby. I recently have thought about it. I mostly think of Great Gatsby as everybody was so into it, and they were so into it for the wrong reasons, sort of thing. Everybody started having Gatsby-themed parties and stuff like that. But I don't know, something recently came up about it on some video I watched, and it made me curious. So I might get back to that someday. Thanks Killing is one of those movies that I want to see, but I never want to see right now. Because I love terrible horror movies. I don't love terrible horror movies that are trying to be horrible.
Mm.
And you can be a bad movie intentionally if you're funny. But if the joke is, look how shitty we tried to do this, I don't care. And it also, it just doesn't seem that, I don't know. We'll see. But someday I may see it. Dave Made a Maze, I was very excited about. I am a fan of several of the people involved in it. I was disappointed. It squandered, in my opinion, a really cool sort of premise. The effects were cool, but still kind of small scale. I don't know. I wanted more out of it, but my expectations might have been too high. So,
Gatsby, I read for a class in college, and you know, as you know, not a fiction guy. So, really, I didn't read any fiction to speak of. I mean, when I was in elementary school, I read some fiction. I read I think I've talked about it. There was this female author wrote these mysteries with female protagonists. And I read for like young adults, I don't think young adult fiction was a thing back then, but that's kind of what the books were. And I read those when I was in elementary school, but that's about all the fiction I ever read. So Gatsby was the first. Gatsby is of a type, really. And it's the first novel I ever read that was like that, which is, how do you describe it? I mean, it's really captures a time and place, basically. You know what I mean? I wouldn't call it like slice of life or anything like that. But I mean, the interest that you have in it as a reader, the only interest I can think of that anyone would have in as a reader is the sense of time and place that it so very well portrays. It really does kind of transport you to that time and place. And of course, for us, it's a distant time and place.
Well, and one could possibly argue that it is literature as opposed to genre fiction.
Sure, sure.
Because it is just a story of it's not particularly speculative.
No, but it's very well written. I mean, it's like,
oh, I'm kind of assume.
I mean, it's not, I don't remember it being, you know, like Hemingway, which I haven't read any full thing from Hemingway outside of maybe like a short story, but he's very, I would say he's very generous with his verbiage and descriptions and everything. It didn't seem to me that Fitzgerald was quite like that, but still very evocative. I mean, just very, I mean, for someone like me, who is, I don't think I'm actually very good at translating even well-written stuff into visual images very well. It was pretty easy to do with him. He wrote it very well. Now, I'm not saying I liked The Great Gatsby that much, but I could really appreciate his skill as an author and what he achieved in sort of transporting me to that time and place. That's hard for an author to do. I don't usually get transported by a piece of.
Well, it's, you know, it's one of the various pillars. We're storytelling, in my opinion, is only one of two or three fairly significant pillars when you're writing something. If it's a good story, I'll be happy and it'll forgive a lot of other sins. If it's not a particularly good story, but it is written well enough, it can carry me. Or if you create a world that is interesting enough, it can carry me. You got to get one of those right if the others are bad. But it sounds like, from what I've heard of Gatsby, it's pretty much good on all fronts.
Yeah, it really is. But I mean, that doesn't mean you're going to be interested in it, which,
yeah,
you know, I'm not particularly interested in reading about, you know, this person or the people around. But I think maybe the thing that kept me hooked was, you know, it's almost written from the perspective, you know, of Fitzgerald himself. And I think I just appreciate his perspective, or the narrator's perspective, which I think is basically just him. It's there's a lot of observations about human interaction, human character, and human nature that I thought were interesting. And maybe that's another thing that was the first for me to read a novel like that's making kind of observations about people and interactions and human nature, rather than just a novel that's describing things going on or driving plot or whatever else. But it's very observational, in an observational way that I found interesting and insightful, and maybe that I even related to a little bit myself as an observer of, you know, human life and human nature. I thought, I can relate to this.
And you might want to revisit. I've assumed you would be bigger on this because again, you talk about the narrator, it's not Gatsby. It's our POV, essentially.
Kind of, yeah. As I recall.
If I'm remembering correctly, though, and I mean, it's because of publishing reasons, it's not canon, but essentially that guy grows up to be Batman. That leads into Batman Year One and stuff like that.
Okay, well, I didn't know.
They even mention in there that dude, like, his parents were killed by bats, I think.
Well, yeah, I don't
remember that outside part. Of a theater. They were leaving a theater and some bats shot him. I don't remember how bad.
The reason I saw the film eventually was because I thought, again, I wouldn't call myself a fan of Fitzgerald or the book. I liked it enough that when I realized that there'd been a film made, I thought, I'm interested to see that. I don't remember thinking the film was that interesting or compelling, not as much as the book was.
Because he's not Batmaning yet. It gets interesting after he starts Batman.
But see, again, if what fascinated me was the insights of the POV character or whatever, how do you bring that out in a film or a TV show? I mean, all you're going to do is show the events that happen in the novel, which by themselves are really not that interesting. It's what's interesting is the experience of this person, you know, experiencing these things and then describing different people. And that's the interesting part. It's not just that these things happen. And Gatsby isn't really an interesting character all by himself. It's interesting, the observations that are made about him and the interactions and everything, but you can't, I mean, unless you have a movie and you have the main character narrating it the whole time. Of course, that's not going to be interesting either. So maybe it's
almost as if certain art, the medium that it originates in, is very important and not something that needs to be fucked with.
I maybe that's true. I'd be interested to know anyone else who has read the book and is either a fan of it, unlike me, or simply really appreciated it, like me, and thinks, no, these movie adaptations aren't very good. And what your opinion is of why, because as I'm talking about, I've never thought about it before just now, but as I'm talking about it, it does seem like, no, you shouldn't make a movie out of this. There's no way you can't really capture what's good about Fitzgerald's work. Have you read anything from F. Scott Fitzgerald or?
No.
And I haven't read anything else. I think I'd like to.
There are a collection of novels and plays that everybody has to read in high school. But the trick is you read like five of them out of a pool of 30. And so not everybody reads the same. I didn't read Great Gatsby, but I did read Great Expectations.
Mm.
I didn't read Richard III, but we did read Romeo and Juliet and Julius Caesar for some reason. I didn't read Lord of the Flies, but I read a separate piece. That kind of thing. So we've all just got our different sets. But that means of our four or fives of listeners, probably at least two or three of them did have to read Great Gatsby in school. And Jazz, I assume, read a dog-eared paperback while bouncing along on the back of a circus bus going down a back road in Spain when she was conservatively 2.5 years old. I don't remember what we were watching the other day, but there was some movie or something, and I had a question, and Trish was like, you should ask Jazz. And I was like, what? She's like, doesn't she come from circus people? And it was something with the circus thing. And I was like, oh my God. This was she was reading this just before Hugh Jackman approached her and sang a real lovely song about exploiting and enslaving people and how it would make a great show.
I haven't read The Scarlet Letter.
See, that it was on my list. But that's also the one I talked about before that is famously handled poorly. There is a film adaptation of Scarlet Letter, not the famous one, but there's an earlier one that's like from PBS or something that is the book. Like line for line, it is the book. And the teacher, we had to read Scarlet Letter, and then the teacher showed us that movie over the course of like 3 days. Right before then, we took the test on the book. And I was enough of a fucking nerd and swat that I still read the book. But people knew because they did it every year. And people said, don't bother to read it. It's a movie. And I read it and immediately watched the movie and was like, yeah, it's the same thing.
I've read so many other things from Hawthorne. And I love Nathaniel Hawthorne. I mean, he's easily one of my favorite authors ever.
What did you mean?
But I've only read what's supposed to be a complete collection of his short stories, even though I think a couple are missing. The House of Seven Gables or whatever, but not he's had other novels. Well, you know, Scarlet Letter, but some other ones too. I haven't read them.
It is a funny coincidence, though, because you haven't read Scarlet Letter, which is the origin for who would eventually become Catwoman. So it's really weird you haven't put these connections together.
I probably will read it one of these days. I mean, it's odd to be such a big fan of Nathaniel Hawthorne and have read so much of what he's written and not read that.
And because I mean, you're in class right now, but once you have a full-time job as a therapist, you'll just have scads of time.
I mean,
for reading for pleasure.
If I go to Barnes and Noble right across the interstate here, that's the only Nathaniel Hawthorne thing I'll be able to find is Scarlet Letter. I won't be able to find anything else.
I'm just shocked that you can go to a Barnes and Noble.
It's right here.
That one's still there at the mall?
Yeah.
Wow.
Shouldn't it be?
Wow.
Are they closing all of
them? I mean, it's probably the last one.
No.
Really?
I went there looking
for... The whole deal that's been going on for decades, how brick-and-mortar bookstores basically don't exist anymore?
Well, I mean, you know, there were other bookstores there for a long time, even in spite of having a Barnes & Noble, and they're gone. Yep. But...
That one's just hanging on for dear life. Wow, I'm impressed.
But... You know, Hawthorne wrote a lot of stuff, and I can find just about everything Shakespeare wrote or a lot of other writers.
I can find everything Shakespeare wrote. I got a whole volume of it, all of his stuff.
But why can you only find Scarlet Letter from Hawthorne? Because there's the other stuff is really good. Some of it's even fairly well known, but
it's a rights issue. It has to do with Batman. It's complicated. It's all tied up in Batman. We're out of time. So if you know where all of Herman Hawthorne, Nathaniel Melville's stuff is hiding, give it to William. Shut up. I have COVID.
I haven't read any Melville. They were contemporaries. I think they both were complementary to one another. They both liked each other's stuff.
But it was the 70s in Oregon, so they were really racist. If you want us to talk about something, write in themagicaltalkinghead@gmail.com with all of your things. Probably don't send us videos. We probably won't watch them beforehand, but, you know, whatever's good. Also... listen again next week. Hopefully I'll feel better. I don't know. It's August now, so think on that.
You right?
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.